I'm Cindy Temi.
I'm Gracie May.
I'm Ola Aware.
And we are Frobeats,
your favorite Afropop podcast. Episode
17.
Woo! Guys, I know I say this every episode, but this season has been the best yet with regards to me remembering if it is, it is the right episode, because before
I was throwing numbers out.
Are we going to pretend like I didn't remind you through Zoom or...
I mean, I would have thought we were going to, but you've already exposed me. But I think, but even before this one, I've been remembering, so I would have figured it out. So there was no need for that, G-May. But
whatever. Don't worry, we're going to be exposing a lot more this episode, so...
Expose!
Who's that you got in your background, Gracie May? For those people that are listening that can't see, who's that in your background?
He may or may not be Steph London's brother, but the deep voice that everyone thought was so sexy. Is he sexy now? Is he sexy now?
Conversation pending.
On the shade bar for a number of reasons. Prior to the main one that we're probably going to touch on, he was in there for, there was like an artist that he apparently was dating or something. And then the video went viral and she was just sharing her link up with him. Randomly, before we go back into that, there's another guy, our Nigerian brother, Notes Free, that was also featured in the blogs. Obviously,
wait, hold on a second. I know you didn't just call him Notes Free.
I'm not good anymore. I was calling Sweetie Swahiti. I don't know.
Who else did she butcher their name? Talisa. What did you call her?
Philip, who cares? She wasn't getting any. She didn't need a name. I think I might come into the light. I don't know. Y'all can see me properly. Cool. So yeah, Notes or Notte. He's Nigerian.
He has been Notte. So go ahead, girl.
Yeah, he's in a lot of entangled knots. There was a girl that came out and said that he was trying to get into her DMs, and she put all their pictures and messages up and whatever. Anyway, that girl has recently released a single. I knew it was coming, because really and truly. But my question is, in terms of exposing people, when it comes to guys, what are your thoughts on that? Because I know, like, I hate the fact that women often get dragged when they do that, because people are just like, okay, so what was your point? But the reality is, the reason why men get away with doing this is because no one airs their nonsense and their business. And it's like, it's about time. It's about high tide time that we did expose. But the way the Yassi girl exposed was a little bit on crud. You're very immature. There's no need for it. It was all about clout. Obviously, you're dropping a dead single and that's what you've done. The reality is, if you're going to do it in a way that you can address the guy and the girl, you don't need to come to the forefront and be exposing. Because in the likes of, we're going to talk about Nice and his apology video, because obviously he's an Afrobeats artist. He cheated on his wife and the video surfaced all over the internet. Now, something that could have been managed in the home, irrespective of whether the video came out or not, still could have been managed in the home, was brought to the forefront of everyone's attention because you decided to do a Netflix feature with backing tracks and telling us everything about why and how it makes you feel, making the whole situation about you.
Screaming.
And I feel like, what? There's two sides to this. Obviously, like, we're talking about women exposing men, or because men don't really expose, you know. If a guy has found out a girl is cheat that has a man, I've not seen
pride. Pride.
Yes,
pride. Shame. It's more about how they feel, isn't it?
That you went to go and find someone else to D down. I'm not going to tell that story.
It's right. True, but don't you feel as women that don't cheat on other people's men, do you not feel that we're also that kind of person that I don't want everyone to hear that story? Because I feel like if Nice was my husband, and you came to the big wide world web to come and do a feature film, I'm very cringing.
So I think I'm on the opposite scale, only because if you shame me in public, so now everybody knows, what? You need to apologize to me in public.
Oh, do you reckon? Okay.
No, this is me. There is absolutely, absolutely no way that if that was my husband, they would ever get a Netflix documentary. I would do absolutely everything I could to tear that whole thing down. Because number one, you have cheated on me. Do you know what I mean? I'm already offended. Me that I've been sitting here taking it, whatever it is that you're giving me, whether I'm liking it or not, I've been sitting here taking it for the sake of the home and everything else. you'll now go and expose our business on your terms. What nonsense is that? This isn't your right to expose. It's completely up to me how I decide that this.
But remember, the news is already out because the girl leaked the video of Nice gripping up her boobies and kissing her on the face. So the news was out.
In terms of how I want you to respond to it, this is up to me. Like, if you wanted to keep me in this situation, if you went and did all of that, that is testament to the idea that you don't want this relationship to continue.
Already.
If you wanted this relationship to continue, it should be up to the woman in the home who is going to be tainted by everyone else that you're going to go and do this video for to decide how you are going to address it. You have done wrong. Shut up and let me decide how I want this to be fixed.
But I still feel like if you shame me in public, like, the context is they got married this year. This is his fourth marriage. If you can use your full face, because he wasn't even trying to hide in the video, you can see his full face. You need to use your full face to apologize. We will still have conversations in the back and it will still be on my terms, because if it's down to me, it's less than a year, we're not reconciling. But if we were to, you have to. You've shamed me publicly. My whole family know. Everybody knows that that's my husband. Nah, you have to apologize publicly. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Without the music. And without the whole, like you said, Netflix situation, the
You went and did cinematography and were paid for my shame. What sort of insult is that?
No, the biggest insult was the people in the comments saying, my sister, please forgive him. Don't encourage bad behaviour. What are you doing in the comments?
Her business.
Face your front.
What are you doing?
Face your front.
What are you doing there?
But it also goes back to the mentality. We've said it before about, like, just the I can only speak on the African side of things and adults, is that they love this idea of endurance and going through and experiencing something, but pushing through, working through it, pain, suffering. You don't have to. It's life, not kind of nice.
She's
been married 3 times prior to you. And I feel like we're just speaking on behalf of her. I'm pretty sure she's probably got her own mind. But the audacity of asking the World Wide Web to beg your wife, not even on her private page that she doesn't have for a reason. Like, if she doesn't even have a private page, you are now tagging my business where money comes in for me, so that everyone can now see that, like, this is the woman that does luxury weddings in Nigeria. Her husband, imagine being in the wedding industry and your own wedding could not keep his industry thing.
Wait, there was an apology, right? Somebody that did, I think, the decor was like, oh, I was at the wedding. It was so beautiful. They seemed so in love. Don't let something small like this ruin the marriage. 93% of men cheat. First of all, where are you getting your facts and figures?
I mean, are we saying it is less or?
And I won't. You know what? I'm done. I have no more points. Sorry, go on, Cindy.
I don't know. Maybe she meant Yoruba men. I don't know. Maybe she, from her experience, 97% of her men.
No, but really, you know, I just can't imagine, like, because I agree with you, Sunny. We talked about this so many times in terms of like the Nigerian mentality of sticking at it and so on. And I remember
endurance.
I said this, endurance. I said this to my parents that, like, in this day and age, like, the reality of it is that when you are marrying someone, like, when you are marrying someone, you're entering in. That means that everything that I have become, everything that I know myself to be, I am willing to compromise on certain things. Someone cheating on me when I've walked into it knowing that I'm going to lose certain parts of myself for you, that's something I don't think I can take, because how bloody dare you? Do you know how bloody dare you? Because I didn't have to be here. That's where it comes to. We signed up to this marriage based on some facts. Do you know what I mean? We said that these things were going to be absolute. I didn't have to be here. So you just took my own, you took everything that I decided that I was going to bring to this, everything you said you were going to, and just made rubbish of it and thought it would be okay. I will leave. I will take the money. I'll take the house. Because the reason is that the same reason we started this conversation was about notes, that we don't come out and we don't shame these men enough. We don't talk about these situations enough, because for some reason that shame comes on us.
Back on us, always, as women, always.
We need to change the narrative.
There is an exception though. So with Tion Wayne and Lani, given that she's so much older, she's in her 30s, she should know better. To me, the Bad Boy piece of information was a sick song, but sis, you've been dragging it out. We know, yeah. Tion played you, but it's enough. Oh, Tito, it's enough. Yeah, and initially I was like, sis, get your bag. He owes you $8,000 or whatever the amount is. But now I'm just like, it's been 6 months, it's been a year.
Yeah, it's true.
Don't insert him into everything. Yeah.
It's true. On that Lani topic, I think, like, I'm very conscious sometimes of saying, like, move on, sis, it's been this and that, because sometimes I feel like, if depending on what your mental capacity is, it is, we speak about different types of heartbreak, we spoke about heartbreak before, but, and in fact, one of the topics on the Twitter timeline, I think last week or the week before, was about heartbreak. What has been your worst heartbreak story? I think, for the purpose of not being shamed by other people, people subdue what they go through when it comes to heartbreak. And I feel like depending on what kind of person you are, it can affect you in different ways. So I am quite conscious in saying, you know, get over it. Yeah, she is older. She should know better. Men are, this is what the problem is and what we do with men. We allow them, or maybe people of his age, whatever, but I feel like we do it with men all the time because I expect so little of them anyway, so I don't expect much from them to do. But we always have an excuse in terms of, you know what, he was this age. She's older. She should know better. At the end of the day, everyone...
He lied.
There's certain... By a certain age, you know better. It's not you should know better. You know what you did was wrong. It's not... We shouldn't give him the... It's hard to say that she should just... Because we don't know...
I'm not giving him the benefit of the doubt. I'm just saying it's been a minute. You've done the expose. You've dropped his name in. We know... You don't need to keep reminding us, because clearly the first time you reminded us, it didn't get us the bag. Clearly the guy has no shame. Change tactic. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Get your money, sis. Change tactic.
What is the intention? You're right. Like, at the end of the day, if you've been heartbroken, is your intention really, maybe hers is different, to make money from it? Okay, yeah, she can. She's allowed to be on that platform. But I guess, yeah, you're right. In that sense, I'm speaking for women that only have been heartbroken and just need to get over it, as opposed to reminding us every now and again so they can get a bit of pee. Like, money's not going to fix my heart. Now if and it again, helps.
Every platform she's on, every podcast she's on, everything she's on. Tion Wayne, we know. Sis, we know.
He's also embarrassing himself.
In the industry that are doing the same thing, that are singing the same tune, and like, people are equally as like, is that the only story you have? Like, there's definitely other people that is what they're doing.
Do you have an example?
I'm not going to. But personally, I'm not going to do that. Personally, I feel as though I agree with you, Cindy, because like at the very basis of it, truth is truth. And if we enter into something based on the idea that we should all be telling the truth, like you're gonna like it, irrespective of the fact that we should know that people should play the game and so on and so forth, you don't expect it to be your story. You don't expect it to be you. Do you know what I mean? And so when you're in it, and all of a sudden you find that out, maybe there were things along the way that you should have noticed or so on and so forth. There's lots of things you could say there. You're right, Cindy. Guys on my audience, Cindy was just looking at a camera for some reason. Were you laughing? Were you spinning? Is that what was happening?
Yeah, I was spinning. That's me laughing. That's me rolling on the floor laughing.
Screaming.
Basically, I'm trying to say that, like, The problem is the idea that we let men get away with anything other than the idea that truth is truth and you lied. That's fundamentally what the issue is. And we should be able to talk about it whenever we want to, however we want to. And if it's going to increase my purse, so shall it be.
I like it.
And the church said amen. So obviously, before you jump on, I guess the one exception that I can think of is, do you guys know about the Octavian situation with his girlfriend? Where he was like beating her black and blue for like 2 to 3 years. And then when they broke up, she released the videos and Shade Barrow got hold of it. I'm Just Bait got hold of it. All of the platforms that all of us look at have the videos where he's like barking at her. She posted pictures of like bite marks and she alleged that he like concussed her and all of that evidence. I'm like, sis, I know I've just said that it's enough for Talani, but for this lady specifically, if you can go ahead and be an ambassador for domestic or against domestic violence, if you can go on and warn a future possible victim of Octavian's past, then girl, shout as often as you can, as loud as you can, with as much support as you can, because when it's life and death, that one's serious. And I know it's bad to try and put it in categories, but I feel like domestic violence is more severe than cheating. Ooh. Yeah, I've said it. Yeah,
definitely. Come on, cheating is not. It shouldn't.
But some people can be like physical abuse, emotional abuse.
Okay, fine.
And this is what I mean. And so, like, okay, I agree with the notion of physical, like, of what you're trying to say. But I think essentially the reason that we feel like that is because men are given a pass because we don't expect more from them. Like, we know not to expect them to beat us, but for some reason we don't know to expect them not to cheat on us. And that's the problem. This pass that we give men will be our children's downfall. there should be no pass. Truth is truth. It's absolute. And we all need, and that's why for me, it's like, call it out. The same way we're saying this with Black Lives Matter, and that these people, they don't know when they're being racist, microaggressions, and now we're all ginger to call it out. Do it every single time. Like, there is a basis of understanding to which we know that we're all working at. Someone's trying to cheat that, call them out for it.
I hear that.
I think, based on what Cindy said in terms of, it's a 93% cheat rate accurate, and we were all laughing, but we definitely didn't answer the question. The only reason why I feel like we give cheating more of a pass is because it happens more frequently, I would like to think. I think the stats in the UK are... Right. Whereas I think the stats in the UK for domestic violence is 1 in 4 people will be involved. And that's not necessarily with like a romantic partner. That could be a sibling, it could be a parent, it could be whatever. So I think it's less frequent, which is why we stand against it more, I guess, depending on your community. But yeah, you're right. We should call it out every time. I know for Misha, if he's beating or cheating, I'm out either way. So we good.
Hey, beating or cheating, I'm out. Look at that.
I'm going
to be honest. To be honest, if I can't trust you, I'm out. Because I'm the sort of person that I would jump shit based on me not being comfortable. So actually, if the excuse I have to give you is, I'm in this, I've tried it, and something doesn't sit right with me, if that something doesn't sit right with me is enough for me to not sleep at night, I'm sorry I can't give you more than an answer, then I'm not comfortable, but I will leave.
Honestly, I like that approach, and I wish I could say, like, I'm as cutthroat as that. I believe I am in terms of... But the problem with me is I'm not having that conversation with you. When I'm out, I'm actually out, but I haven't told you yet. So I'm really like, based on behavior, sometimes behavior often alludes to things. And I feel like some people wait for, and this is another debate when you talk about, you know, when you're dating someone, at what point do you see your boyfriend and girlfriend? Because if you've been spending all your time together, going on holiday, meeting the family and whatnot, at some point, I don't think you need to solidify it by having a question, like an answer, like, oh, you're going to be my girlfriend, whatever. I digress. But at the same time, if I found that you're cheating on me, or you're not calling me when you say you're going to call me, we don't go out, or you don't come around by the time you say you're going to come around and things like that, I've taken it to assume that we're no longer in the relationship. We don't have to have the conversation. You see me on the arm of another fella. What did you expect?
Ooh, not another fella.
What did you think was happening when you weren't being there for me? Did you think I was, I don't know. I don't. But yeah, having that conversation is
yeah.
I need the conversation. I need the time.
When you're out in the club, just don't think I'm not.
Just don't think, yeah.
When you're out in the club, don't think I'm not.
Actions are killing our people.
No, to be honest, like, I understand that notion, but I feel like I'm one of those people that I don't like situations when things aren't clear. Do you know what I mean? Because I know how easy it is for me to, I feel like I'm very observant and very perceptive. And so in those situations where I feel like I've seen something, I don't want it to be my version of reality that I'm using to perpetuate this idea that I've seen. Because I always say, you can't break down an image someone has built of you themselves. So if I have noticed something, I'm going to call out that we need to talk about this, because I want to make sure that I am not going to now start seeing multiple iterations of this in different ways and add it to something I've not even raised with you. Then based on how you address that situation, it will give me what I need to know as to whether or not, is this a conversation I'm going to raise again? Or is this actually something worth being in because this person wasn't ready for that conversation? Do you get what I mean? Because, and I think, maybe it's because that is a stone hard trait of mine, that's something that if it's not going to work, I'll leave, because I'm the sort of person that I dream over the things that I think about. So I can't be up at night.
No, you're right. I think that the lack of ambiguity or the increase of clarity is how I maintain my boundaries. So if we haven't had the conversation, aside from seeing me in the club, just in general, like, I'm not going to expect boyfriend behavior from you if you haven't claimed me. Equally, you shouldn't expect that I'm not speaking to other guys if you haven't claimed me. So you can get me the most expensive gift for my birthday, you can fly me out, which, you know, I'm encouraging people to do. But if we haven't had that conversation, Dubai way, as in DXB.
We won't be going to Dubai because our good friend Tion Wayne was caught on a plane fighting.
On the, you know what? Yeah, I'm gonna finish this sentence and then you're gonna go straight into that. My last point was just gonna be, last year I tried to force somebody to have that conversation. They conceded, they claimed me, and then recalled on that claimation. So, ladies, just a warning: if you step into that conversation ill-prepared, forcing people's hands, you may get what you want in the short term, but in the long term, it might be a dead thing. You get me? Yeah. That's Tion Wayne.
Go on.
Oh my goodness! So Tion Wayne and another artist who I believe is Heady One.
Yeah.
Did you say who is Heady One?
As in who I believe is Heady One.
I was like, insult.
No. Because obviously, like, I'm more of an Afrobeats head and whatever, but I am fully aware of the fact that he dropped an amazing album this year, and the track on the album that was for me was Princess Cut. So obviously I've been listening to that song. But what you now hear, that somebody that you weren't fully aware of before, but now you've grown to like them as a person, as an artist, is fighting on a plane with another UK artist, it really threw me back. Because I was like, oh, during a pandemic, we're really putting hands on each, like, on people. But it was very, very messy. And I, do you know, I feel like I'm delivering the gist of the week this week with all the, like, shade. But, yeah, so facts of the matter is, apparently there's an ongoing beef between them. I don't know too much about it because I don't really care. But they were on a plane, they spotted each other, and then they proceeded to scoff. It was a little bit mad. It was.
Did you see Tion Wayne's tweets?
About it was over a seat.
Yeah, yeah. So it started, it's like, don't worry, guys, just over a seat. And then the next video came out. So he tweeted that when you could just see them, someone was videoing from the other aisle of them two, like, on the other side. Then he said, don't worry, guys, it was just over a seat. Then you saw the video after that come out of someone behind him, basically going to bang him. And then he tweeted something else. Because I think Heady One said something. So then he replied to
A mess.
I feel like people have said now Dubai is the ghetto, it's so accessible. Also, they just let anyone go to Dubai. If I've got Dubai money, why would they not let me come? Hello? Hi.
Yeah, no.
My issue is just don't come and disgrace us on the plane, because now it's going to be like, oh, black people.
Yeah.
But it was black people that were saying it, and it's just like this whole, I feel like some black people feel like there's an exclusivity that they have over certain places. And I believe Dubai was one of them. And it really showed from some of their wayward tweets. It's just like, you're not the gatekeeper of Dubai. Like, at the same time, we've said this in previous episodes, do we hold black people at a higher standard, expect us to behave? Like, obviously, we never catch a break because we're always trying to, like, outperform our Oyibo counterparts because we're always trying to be, like, the best and whatever. And sometimes it's okay to be black and mediocre, as we've seen. We're fighting on a plane, but at the same time, is there no level of shame that you have?
My goodness, when the yobs and the hooligans are fighting in the streets, getting sloppy and drunk, vomiting all down their front, we never say all white people. We might say the hooligans, you might say the football yobs.
You know what? That is them. I don't want that pass. You do that.
My point is, so two black men fighting on a plane. I've never seen it before. I'm hoping I never see it again. Let's just say that that's Heady One and Tion Wayne. That's not all of us, okay? Yeah. We don't need to generalize. That was my point.
Yeah, and that was going to be what I said. Like, realistically, the reason that we hold black people at higher regard is because we know how easy it is for one person to speak for the whole race in the eyes of everyone else. Like, the problem is that white people, I've said this so many times, white people are the default. So they don't need to identify with their whiteness. They just are. So when you see, when the football culture is for you to go and brock up someone else's town if you win or lose, that is just football. It's not white people. And so then when black people are fighting on the plane, they see us all as one homogenous group. It's black people fighting on the plane. Not Heady One on Tion Wayne. Not people that came from no money to new money. Not people that came, do you know what I mean? Not all of those other characteristics that make that seem a little bit more understandable. It's black people being black people. And that's why we are then just like, oh, come on. I don't need this when I'm trying to go to Dubai. They're going to tell me no.
So a quick question on that. So if it was white people fighting on that plane, what is that? Is that travel? Is that what they do? Is that categorized as travel?
Screaming.
I think we would have, but I think we'll be trying to define that. I think we'll be finding out where, like, we'll be finding, like, Morrison was in the video, right? If Morrison was out there punching Plan B, we'll be like, oh yeah, these guys obviously will either be, we'll find out the story. It'll be over a girl. It'll be over.
Is Plan B white?
Give it, huh?
Is Plan B white? Oh
yeah, okay, yeah, fine. Yeah. We'll try and give it, or maybe what's his name, Maverick Saber. We'll be trying to give it some sort of story as to why it's happening. We wouldn't just say black we wouldn't people. Just say white people fighting, because that's where we want to leave it.
Yeah, it's true.
When it comes to black people, we want to make it.
Can
seem
I say
like that it's their fist first.
Other fighting on the timeline includes Tiny Temper against Wizkid, or Wizkid against Tiny Temper. And people haven't said that's black people. They've specifically said Tiny Temper and Disturbing London are crooks. So I think we do have a fine line. I don't know that other people outside of the culture really know what's going on there, but all of us within the culture have been like, yeah, Tiny and Disturbing London have been screwing Wizkid for a minute.
Is because
I also think Wizkid is very loud about being cheated. So
well,
it's his brand to talk about, hello, where is my money?
You're right. Wicked. When Disney apparently didn't pay him for the Black is King, he tweeted about it and deleted. Tweet and delete. And then with this situation, he's also tweeted and deleted. Cindy, you feel like I'm looking at you and you look like you have a lot to say on it. Do you have the context? You want to explain what's happened?
No, because I think it's even perfect. The fact that it's even an Afrobeats artist as well, because it will give it a lot of meat for this. But obviously, you guys may or may not have seen the 3-hour show that Wizkid did. By YouTube.
Yeah.
Yep. So shout out to Wizkid. That was absolutely amazing. It really gave us an insight into an artist, following them pretty much for the whole evening.
Did anyone notice that Burna Boy did one as well? I feel like that went under the radar.
Burna Boy made people pay £12 for those tickets.
Yeah. Yep.
£12.50. It's £12.50.
Yeah, we're in a pandemic. So somebody also said that obviously Burna Boy didn't have the sponsorship and backing. That's fine. That's okay. I didn't see it. So did you watch it or?
I didn't watch it.
Oh, okay. You're not going to make me pay £12 to sit at home and watch you in concert.
So there was like virtual reality. And I mean, I didn't watch it because I was on my way to radio, but I saw clips of it and it looked
good.
I saw him live last year, so I didn't feel the need to necessarily see him this year.
Did you pay last year?
No, Ola, we shouldn't be. Yeah, we're in the industry. And I'm happy to pay for artists. At the end of the day, we support by buying their music and their things and that. But at the same time, if you really deep the crooks and crannies of it, as industry people, I feel like we do a lot for the contribution that we do in terms of, not even as fans, but as like industry people in terms of getting them on shows and whatnot. We're not asking them to pay us. Like that's marketing. There's elements. There's certain things that we do as a brand technically people pay for. And I think, and I genuinely believe that like white counterparts pay for, because it falls under a marketing. I think there's a level of familiarity when it comes to your own people. But at the same time, I'm not paying for it. Like you don't need to pay me to do some of the things, because at the end of the day, we do this for a passion. But if we really deep it, there are certain things that being in the industry should allow you to be. It's just like me working for my company, them telling me to pay rent to go to use the building. I'll stay at home.
And actually what I was looking for was to find out whether or not, because Popcorn is also doing a live, but his is also free.
Yeah.
So I was looking to be like, oh, is this but then Burna Boy, yeah, is this something that only Burna Boy is doing? But yeah.
Anyway, I think just in his defense, I think they will say, a lot of people like, it's just £12.50, like it doesn't break the bank, first of all. I think I know that we all know that he's been touring consistently for like the last 3 to 4 years. He toured with that Outside album. He toured with African Giant. He was planning to tour with this. Obviously, they were able to use some of the merch and sell it as part of the Boohoo collection, so he didn't lose all the funds.
Well, even creating new designs, by the way.
Can I also add something? This guy, in the middle of a pandemic, had sponsored ads. The whole way through March till November, there were sponsored ads of Burna Boy's concert that we didn't know the name of, we didn't know the album for. Do you know what I mean? The sponsored ad had been running all the way through the pandemic. That money is not what could have paid for this.
And another thing with Burna Boy, I feel like Burna Boy, I don't know about you've managed to get an interview or whatnot, but he doesn't do interviews. Now, being an artist is not just about putting out good music. You need to be able to, your fans have to relate to you. is another topic that we'll probably get onto another episode. I feel like some artists just generally believe because they put out good music, they don't need to be the face of their brand. It doesn't work like that because I don't know you as an artist. I do not know you. I want to be able to hear your voice if I search for a YouTube like interview. Not all the in some of the interviews that you see and sometimes anyway.
You know what though? I think it's because I don't know that he's media trained, so I don't wanna go there. But I feel like the interviews I've seen of him,
you're an artist. It's like saying
but the interviews I've seen of him have been more destructive than
exactly. They have. So like, and that was what I was gonna lead on to.
So maybe that's a conscious thing, right? He's limiting his social media presence because, you know, he doesn't really go on Instagram Live, but when he does, he's in the gym or he's in the studio. He's not necessarily directly interacting with the fans. Like, he was on Live when they did the NS 10v10 battle. But yeah, I just feel like when he was on Breakfast Club and they asked him how many countries are in Africa and he didn't know, when they asked him how many states were in Nigeria and he didn't know, and he was like, yeah, I'm just here to talk about the music. There's another, I think, MTV interview where he's clearly just high off his face and the answers, or maybe it's a noise interview, the answers just don't make sense. They're not coherent. I think one of the ones that he's done really well was like Ebro in the Morning, where it was a Skype interview, and maybe he's just more comfortable in his own space. But I think if you're not good at interviewing, don't force it. It's okay. If you get yourself into a lot of trouble on Twitter and you don't want to be asked about it on your interviews, it's okay. If Davido is asking you to call him, because we like to party. I just feel like, yeah, his team are trying to do damage control. Maybe he's a bit of a loose cannon. Yeah, but I get it. I would love to interview him, so
yeah, and we would all. Another thing, we don't eat their interviews, it doesn't pay for it's just it's a two way street. Do you know what I mean? We need content, they need airtime. The thing about that is that with some people from Africa may not know how many countries there are, but they're not going around calling themselves the African giant, so that's also another thing that you just need to look at.
But don't forget as well that the last big interview he did in the UK was with D-Boy Dio, where he basically said the UK had no influence on the creation, generation, or maintenance or promotion of Afrobeats. And he got so much stick for that on Instablog Niger, Tunde Ednot, and all the other blogs. I think he's just learned that when he speaks, people either interpret it the wrong way or he says the wrong thing. So what's your strengths? Give us the music, do the dance moves.
Really diplomatically, the idea that it's either that people interpret it or that he says the wrong thing, because that's just plain wrong. Like that is definitely wrong. It doesn't matter how many people that there are in Britain. The reality of it is that this version of Diaspora actually know where they're from. Therefore, we are contributing to the industry because we eat it, live it, breathe it a lot more than some other countries do.
Also, he grew up here and he's a product of being in Diaspora. It's also
probably the same reasons why you don't know that there's 36 states in Nigeria. What sort of rubbish is that?
States and capitals.
You don't know where you live.
Yeah, you can't be the African giant. But anyway, that was Exposé Essential this week.
Yeah. This has been fun.
It has been.
I like Exposé.
If we do, I think next week, yeah, guys, make sure you tune in because I think we're going to have like a conversational show and it'll be good to get you guys as the audience's opinions on some of the things we said. We're going to have no structure to it. We're going to come with a few topics and we're just going to free the real, yeah. So shout out to Free the Real team.
Can I quickly say congrats to Burna Boy on the Grammy nomination because I didn't want that interview so he got it in the end. Eventually.
So we're praying that he wins?
Yes. Yeah, so the only caveat to that, if there's a caveat, is I did a bit of research, you know, because as much as Diddy ruins the Twice as Tall album, I thought it was a good chess move, right? You want to get higher visibility, you want people to see him as an exec when they're voting for the Grammy. And so it made sense to put him as an executive producer. I mean, you could be a producer without having your vocals on a track. That's another topic.
Oh, we all know he loves his voice.
The other four nominees in the global Grammy category is an artist called Tin Arawen. They've been nominated 3 times and won once. So that's one more time than Burna, okay? Anti Ballas has been nominated once and won no times. Bebel Gilberto has been nominated 4 times and never won. But the one that takes the cake is Anushka Shankar. She's been nominated 7 times and never won. So the idea that Burna's going to win this year is a little bit maybe misdirected, misconstrued, especially if somebody's been nominated 7 times and they've never won. But on the other hand, if you combine all their Instagram followers together, it's still like less than half of Burna. So maybe, I don't think they look at Instagram following when they're judging or when they're voting. But if they are, then that might swing in his
favor. You're a shoo-in.
Yeah. Just wanted to throw that in there before we wrapped up. I'm so sorry.
No, definitely, definitely. I mean, to be fair, I hope he wins. But everything that he did with that African Giant album and everything that he did with the albums before, like, I definitely feel like he's diversified the music. That we know of Afrobeats. Obviously, he classifies himself as Afrofusion, which is a whole other conversation. But no, I think he's done a lot for the industry and the music. I guess my only, like, I guess where my heart rests is the idea that don't bloody tell me that I haven't helped you do that by my own streams, and so on and so forth. But yeah.
Sorry, last thing. Wizkid is also nominated for a Grammy with the Brown Skin Girl video for Best Music Video with Beyonce. And then I believe Tyra Savage and one other person who I forget now are also up because they featured on a Coldplay album, which is also up for a Grammy. So there's a couple people that could be walking away with a Grammy from season.
Was Tyra in Coldplay's album? Was he? Because I know he was on hers.
So he was on Burna's album with Monsters We Make. I don't remember if he was on the Celia album. But I think either she was a BV or she was a writer. I can confirm come back to you guys next week.
No, that's cool.
I've got it. Tiwa and Femi Kuti and Made Kuti were are contributors to the Coldplay album, so I don't know that means.
Okay, dope. Yeah. And we saw the Fela Kuti tribute that was on the BBC this week as well. It was amazing to see. Very interesting story. I didn't know bits of his life. That's mad. Especially what they did to his mother. But yeah, may they both rest in peace. So, guys, that has been our... What are we saying? Was it a...
Expose!
Definitely expose. We'd love to know your thoughts and opinions on whether it's right to be calling out these horrible cheating men. And when it comes to like being cheated on, do you want your partner to publicly... I don't think anyone's going to say yes to this, but you, as Gracie mentioned, would you prefer your apology in public in the same way you use? Let's know your thoughts, comments, opinions in the box below. Make sure you guys check out the full episode, which is available across all streaming platforms. I have been Cindy Temi on Instagram.
_ Gracie May on Twitter and Instagram.
At Oloaweo on every platform.
Throw Beats Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Follow us, stream it, share it, like it. See you next week for the finale. Season finale.
Season finale. Peace.
Love.